Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. I am in New York City today and my guest and friend, Dr. John Townsend, is in Newport Beach getting ready to fly to Virginia. So we're living in a virtual world here. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Laurie Beth.
Let me just tell our listeners just a little bit about you. I'm sure your name almost needs no recognition. Dr. Townsend is the co-author of Boundaries, which I personally consider one of the five most important books ever written for relationships. And I can't even think what the other four are, but he has written or co-written more than 18 books. He's sold more than 4 million copies. He's a clinical psychologist. He's a traveler. He is the founder of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's on the board of the Mustard Seed Ranch and also MOPS, Mother of Preschoolers. He graduated from Biola. He and I are constantly running into each other. He and I were on a show on TBN recently called Is Counseling Christian? He also has an amazing leadership coaching seminar that he puts on all over the country. And today we are lucky to be able to promote his new book that's barely 2 weeks old called Beyond Boundaries. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Laurie Beth.
So, I really loved the term in the book where you talked about understanding the difference between trust and protection. And when a relationship breaks down, explain to us what happened there.
Well, whether it's a business relationship or a family relationship or a marriage or a dating relationship, good relationships are just built on trust. You know that the person has your back and they're not going to use information about you to, you know, hurt you. If you go to the Bible, the word for trust actually means to be careless. You're careless with this person. You're not editing and walking on eggshells around the person. You're sort of kind of who you are, and you just say what you are because you know that you're safe. Well, when a relationship breaks down because someone was controlling or deceptive or self-centered or, you know, the bad stuff that happens, trust is the first thing that goes away. And then what happens is all of us have to go into a protective mode. You know, and the Bible even says that in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. So instead of trusting that person, you have to be kind of careful with them because they've done something that was hurtful. Well, then the question becomes, okay, now I've done that. I've pulled away. And, you know, when Henry Cloud and I wrote Boundaries, the book you mentioned a billion years ago, people were saying things like, look, I've built my fence now. I can say no. I can protect myself. Mm-hmm. I can set limits. But, you know, inside this fence is getting kind of lonely. What do I do now?
And I think it's really hard as Christians because, for one thing, we try to be all things to all people. We don't have any boundaries. And then when we get hurt, then we go to the other extreme and build these boundaries. But when trust is broken, how do you rebuild that trust?
Well, that's really the nature of the book. People were coming up saying, what now? You know, what next? How? Now that I've kind of protected myself, and they'll say, either I'm going into a new relationship, and how do I do it right this time in trust? Or they say, how do I? This person says that they've changed, and they've gotten some help or something. How do I know that they're the right person? So I divided the book into three basic areas that covers everything. The first is, how do I know when I'm ready to trust again? And I've got several skills and steps to let you know when you're ready. The second is, how do I know when the other person's ready? Because there are certain tests that people must pass. And then the third is, what is the process of opening up to each other? And I have a skill-based part there for how do we know, I mean, not how do we know, but what do I do, then what do you do, and what do I do to gradually open up and become intimate again, either in business or in love?
Wow. This is so important. You know, I think that sometimes in Christian relationships, someone does something really hurtful, and then someone comes along and sends them scriptures about forgiveness, and then the burden becomes on the person who was hurt to forgive, and yet it just doesn't happen overnight, does it?
Boy, that is so true. It does not happen overnight. You know, when you first put out, and in psychology they talk about this, they call it a fight-flight response. When you first put out a need or you're vulnerable or you want to go deeper with someone or allow that person to even matter inside, we go into this fight-flight syndrome where we think, well, I've got to make sure you're never hurt me again, so we become aggressive. Mm-hmm. Or we pull away and think, never again. And so there are really good reasons that it's a process, mainly because we're supposed to be the guardians of our heart. But when people think, or when people expect that of each other, like, well, I apologized and I've changed, so why don't you trust me again?
Exactly.
That just makes no sense at all, and nobody should do it.
Wow. I was in a discussion, someone, we were talking about centrifugal force, and I didn't know exactly what it meant, and I looked it up, and it said, basically, it's the desire to escape matched with the desire to remain. And I thought, boy, isn't that... Isn't that true of relationships? So let's talk, how do we know when we're ready to risk again? What are some of the steps?
Well, in the book, there's a couple of ways that I sort of lay it out for people to make it something that felt tangible to them. One is, have you learned the lesson? Some people repeat the same relational mistakes over and over and over again. Like the lady that said, you know, I've been married to 9 different alcoholic husbands.
Uh-huh.
And her best friend said, no, Mabel, you've been married to the same husband with 9 different names.
Wow, that's so true.
So what's the lesson here? Is the lesson that I tend to attract and go after highly irresponsible people that I can rescue? Mm-hmm. Or do I like to be around controlling people because I feel safe? Or do I go after detached, disconnected people because then I can do all the relational work and draw them out? So what is the lesson learned? And if you say the lesson is that these are bad people out there, you're not ready to go back in a relationship. There's got to be some kind of an ownership lesson.
Ooh, this is so good.
You know, like a head scratcher. Okay, I know that I was around a lunatic, but what part did I play there?
Yes. So how do we know when the other person is ready? So let's say we've learned our lesson.
If we've learned the lesson, really what we have to look at is how much are they concerned about their impact on you? That's one of the key signs.
Ooh.
So that maybe they're 45 minutes late to every meeting and you say, you know, it's kind of hard always being late to everything and waiting around for you. It's kind of difficult. And they say, well, you're overreacting or chill out. Well, what they're telling you is, I'm not really concerned about how I affect you or impact you. You want to have someone around to trust that says, goodness, you know what, I'm sort of flaky, I'll work on that. I had no idea it made you feel like that. Then what they're saying is, emotionally and spiritually and relationally, I'm concerned about the effect I have on you, and that's a really good sign. And a person that blames you or denies that they did things aren't going to get better if that doesn't change.
Wow. Wow. John, everybody needs this book. I am not kidding. All right, so opening up between two people, there was a scene in a movie recently, Crazy Stupid Love, where the two divorced people are talking on the phone, and there's just this precious bubble of vulnerability where they each stepped into the vulnerability, but they've got just, you can tell any second they're about to burst out of it. And I think that's that bubble that you're talking about. What is that process?
It is a bubble, and it is very fragile because both people are so concerned that something bad is going to happen, they're ready to bail at any time. You're exactly right. One of the key steps I put there is I have a section called You Got to Have the Talk. Mm-hmm. You've got to talk about us. Now, I know that women don't like it, and men just love to talk about their emotions and feelings.
It's so natural to you, isn't
it? It's just so natural. But, no, you know, we men are way behind in that, but we have to get better because a lot of people say, okay, business as usual, or let's have a good time, or have a movie, or go take a walk, mm-hmm. and kind of ignore what psychologists call the elephant under the rug.
Right.
And you've got to get to us and say, and I have some skill steps in there, things like, I really like, you know, the fact that we're starting to get connected here, but I have some concerns. I have some things that happened in the past. I want to make sure things are different. And basically, it's about setting ground rules. Every healthy relationship has ground rules. This is okay with me, and this is not okay with me. And the person that cares the most is the one that initiates the talk.
Wow. And that's a vulnerability, too, because you
and
have
And that
to,
is a vulnerability, too.
And then, so how do you eliminate power struggles in relationships?
Don't. Just don't even get into them. We have a natural tendency. I mean, power is certainly a good thing. I mean, you and I both work with a lot of corporate groups, and you know that power is a good thing because corporations and organizations don't change unless there's power, you know, like applied to a situation to make it better. But
right.
In a relationship, you should say that your only power is the power that you have over yourself, not to change that other person. So when you disagree and somebody kind of escalates and their voice gets louder and they get insistent, instead of saying, okay, I'll amp up higher than that person, that's when you, as the kind of the grown-up in the couple or the business relationship, say, what just happened there, Jim? Sort of like we're disconnected now and you're amping up. And when you pull away and you observe the other person putting the energy in, the other person stops and goes, hopefully, they go, yeah, why'd I do that? Or, well, you made me so mad or whatever. But the person that's pulling away and observing is the one that notices. You know, Solomon had a really interesting statement. I'm sorry, David, in Psalm 139, he said, search me and know me and try my anxious ways, O God, and see if there have been any hurtful ways. And that's what we're supposed to do with each other when there's a power struggle. One of them say, what just happened there? You sort of like got mad. And then it helps the other person to get out of the power struggle and get back into the relationship, which is where love is.
And you have to be centered, don't you think? If you think that that person is your energy source, then you're always going to be off balance. But if you know that God is your source and Christ is your center, I think it's a little easier to go into the observation mode. But if you think, if you leave me, I'm going to die, then you're not going to be so balanced, right?
Yeah, it's really true. You know, there's one of the passages that I pray sort of like on a regular basis is 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. And the word cast means, it's sort of like a Major League Baseball player. It actually means to throw with force. And when we throw with force those cares of they might not like me, it might not go well, then we can be centered and we can feel safe. You know, one of the best things that I ever learned in psychology was that you cannot control the outcome. And when you go into a conversation or a relationship or a business deal, you can influence it and you can say what you need and you can make things as attractive as possible, but you've got to give up control of the outcome because somebody else has a choice. Otherwise, you'll go crazy.
Wow. And it's so true about our relationship with God, isn't it? You know, when I was stepping back and looking at the Bible, and really we have been the distant lover. God is always... It's almost a dysfunctional thing, isn't it, the way he so patiently waits for us to come home?
Yes. He, in fact, I love passages like when Jesus said, Jerusalem, I wish I could have put you under my wings like a hen does her chicks, but you would not. And you see that God, as you said, God is always the one reaching out, taking huge, huge risk and getting sort of, and we sort of look at him and shake our fist or walk away. So he really is a model of learning how to reach out.
Wow. And I wrote this thing one time about Jesus, and it said, what the cross says to me is that God would rather die than be without us.
Yes.
And, oh my goodness, John, so give us 5 takeaways from this book. We've got maybe 2 minutes left.
Well, one would be to realize that relationships are worth it and that God designed us for a relationship. And whether it's partnerships in business or a dating relationship or a family relationship or a friendship, don't give up on relationships. And because a lot of people say, oh, I just got into my business, I got into my hobbies, I got into my kids. Well, that's all great, but you need people around sustaining you too. So don't give up. The second one would be to pay attention to the signs. If you feel weird with a person, like, are they controlling me or are they manipulating me? Maybe they're not, but say something about it. I mean, bring things out into the light that are in the darkness. The third thing would be to make sure you have done your fair share of growth and healing from the old bad relationships, because they make us reactive and we knee jerk. So get into growth and healing. And let's see, I got 2 more to go. The fourth one would be to see how this new relationship, how connected is other people to other people? Are you the only healthy person around them? Are they around, you know, crazy people rest of the time? Or do they have their own open support system where they're getting good energy and good health? And then fifth would be, when you have a speed bump in a relationship and somebody says gets mad or whatever, it doesn't mean everything's over. It just means sometimes we're getting to know each other. So the Bible says that we're supposed to, that it's a glory to overlook an offense. So if it's a one-time or a two-time thing and not a pattern, give it a pass. We all need a pass.
Wow. Oh, my goodness, John, I need this book, and I need it now, and I want to help you get it into the hands of everyone because people matter, and relationships are challenging. We're not taught the skills that we need, and you have done such an amazing job with families and teens and corporate leaders. Please, listeners, check out Dr. John Townsend and get this book because it's a skill set that is only going to make your life better. John, thank you so much, and blessings on your trip to Virginia.
Thanks. Can I give my email address for people who want the book?
Yes.
We're at john@drtownsend.com, john@drtownsend.com.
There you go.
And the website is just drtownsend.com.
I meant to do that. All right, john@drtownsend.com, and he is a doctor that can heal your hurting heart. Blessings to you, John. I look forward to
Thanks
seeing you soon. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.